The word of God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. So that means that when you have health, when you have strength, when you have the ability, when there are no restrictions and limitations, that you ought to get excited about being able to come and gather with the people of God. Amen. 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 I don't know about you, but here's what, if you haven't recognized it after all this time, I don't necessarily like quiet. I don't come into the presence of God to be quiet. Amen. Amen. I don't come into the presence. Listen. We've been studying in the book of Revelation, and when we get to one part of the book of Revelations, it talks about when he opened up the seventh seal, he said that there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Outside of that half an hour, you know what we normally see going on in heaven? That there's a whole lot of noise being made, amen? That there's a whole lot that's going on, and it's almost like when you come into the presence of God, that, you know, after you kind of have that ah moment, it leads you to that place of just declaring the greatness of who he is. It makes you, when you see him for who he is, it makes you want to begin to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. When your eyes are open to see him, when you can feel his presence, it makes you want to just say, hallelujah, for he is worthy. Amen. And then what you do is you bow down before him because you're in the presence of his greatness. And after you bow for a while, you got enough strength to get back up and you start all over again. Holy, 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 for he is worthy. So I want us during the month of November, as we focus on Thanksgiving, to practice opening our mouths in declaring praise in thanksgiving unto God. Amen. Can I just tell you that this is a safe place to praise? This is a safe place to shout out hallelujah. Amen. If you do something a little bit unorthodox, we're not going to treat you strange. We might pause and look and wait for a minute to see what's going to happen, but it's a safe place, right? Don't you know that there are places that you're going to be going throughout the course of the week that it's not safe for you to praise? Amen. And so what you need to do is make sure that right here in the huddle, you gain the strength, the encouragement to do it right now, so that it's like fire shut up in your bones. And even when you're in an unsafe place and you just got to declare the goodness of God, it's going to come out of you because it is your habit to praise. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk about developing the habit of praise. Amen. And that's what we're going to be focused on throughout the month of November, is developing this habit of praise. It becomes a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of what we do, not determined upon what we are going through, but it's determined by who it is that we are worshiping. Amen. Amen. In your Bible, Psalm 100, it's a very familiar psalm. I want to encourage you to turn there with me. Verse number one declares, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4 declares, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. 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 It's a good word, right? Bear with me for just a moment as we enter into developing the habit of praise. You saw the declaration and where it was actually saying, shout for joy, all the earth. Calling everyone to attention, to worship him, to praise him, and to celebrate his goodness. I want to read this to you now. That was the NIV. I want to read it to you now from one of the versions that I'm coming to love, because I love the way some of it is phrased. And it just helps me to see and hear it differently, because, you know, I'm kind of an NIV guy. I study from the King James Version. I love reading the New American Standard Version, because that was one of the first study Bibles that I owned in my possession. So I cut my teeth on the New American Standard Version. And then I got hooked on the NIV version because of what I believe is this simple and easy to read language in its dynamic process, where it does not distort the word of God, doesn't paraphrase, it takes it and it actually applies it. So I got accustomed to reading and studying from it. But what I've learned is that as I read from different versions of the Bible, that I get different nuances that I don't always get just by looking at one particular version. So I've learned to enjoy them. And the Passion is one of those that I'm coming to enjoy. Listen to these words. It says, lift up a great shout of joy to Yahweh. Yahweh is a Old Testament term or a Hebrew term that references who God is. So you refer to him as Yahweh. Go ahead and do it. Everyone, everywhere. Don't you like that? It says, lift up a shout and it's go ahead and do it, because you're sitting there like you're not going to do it. So he said, go ahead. Just go ahead, everybody. Go ahead and lift up a shout. Worship Yahweh with gladness and sing your way into his presence with joy. Are you getting this picture? You're singing your way into his presence with joy. Even though you and I can come to him just as we are, you can come to him in sadness. You can come to him broken. You can come just as you are. But this particular psalm is saying, sing your way into his presence with joy. And realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping Yahweh, our God. Privilege. It's a privilege. Not being forced to do it, it's a privilege. If somebody's got to force you to do it, you're not going to enjoy all the great benefit that comes from it. So it says, we have the privilege of worshiping Yahweh, our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come, bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For Yahweh is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you. And he is famous for his faithfulness toward all. Everyone who knows our God, everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. Amen. Isn't that good? Let's be honest. That really preaches itself, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It's like, you know, I can go ahead and you know, I'm not going to take my seat, even though it preaches itself. I'm not going to take my seat. Here is, as we think about this psalm, the invitation to come and to praise God with all of our being. It is the idea, as we talk about entering into this month of Thanksgiving, is that we want praise to be prominent upon our lips. Praise is like this. It's different from complaining. Amen. Now, all of us are familiar with complaining. Because when something doesn't go right in a circumstance or a situation, many times we are quick to begin to express our disappointment and how disgruntled we are with the circumstances that we are feeling. And you know, when you complain, it's hard to smile and complain at the same time. Have you ever found yourself complaining and smiling while you're complaining? It normally doesn't work that way, right? Normally when you complain, what you start doing is you start contorting your face in such a way so that you want to make sure that the expression on your face is indicative of what you're feeling and what you're sharing. You want to make sure that whoever is listening know your pain. You want to make sure that they know your frustration. And so let's be honest, your face gets contorted in a way that sometimes the listener is saying, I'd be glad when you get this complaint out of your system. Amen. So you can't complain and smile. But praise is opposite of complaining. Because praise focuses less about the problem and more about the problem solver. Whew. That was a shout. Y'all do know who the problem solver is, right? Hey, I'm not talking about, you know how sometimes you got a complaint and you like talking to the person that you think is the entry level person and you like, let me talk to your supervisor. Let me talk to your manager because you view them as the problem. So, I'm not talking about the next level up. I'm not talking about the next couple of levels up. I'm actually talking about going to the level whereby when he speaks, nobody can overturn what he has spoken. I'm talking about God is actually the great problem solver. He is the one who has the answers and he can fix any situation, no matter what the condition, no matter who it is that's in the middle of it. God is the problem solver. So praise is when you focus less about the problem and you start talking about the problem solver. Complaints is when you kind of focus in on the problem and you focus in on the person that's causing the problem. Praise is when you recognize and acknowledge the problem, but then you go a step higher and you start praising and celebrating and talking about the one who can fix the problem. Amen? Amen. That's what praise is. And so when we talk about we want to focus on praise and developing the habit of praise, we're talking about we want to get in the habit of focusing and fixating on the one who is able to fix all things. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's where you want to get to with praise, because it impacts your atmosphere. It impacts your attitude. It impacts your circumstance. And praise has a way of taking you from being down in the valley, down in the dumps. And when you have finished thinking about the one who is able to do above and beyond all that you could ask, think, or imagine, all of a sudden you've left the valley and you're on the mountaintop because you're thinking and celebrating the greatness of who he is. And what you and I want to get in the habit of doing is we want to be a people of praise. Praisers don't ignore the problem. Let me be honest with you. If you ignore the problem, that's the problem itself. We don't put our head in the sand like it doesn't exist. We don't ignore it like it's not real. We just recognize that, that's a problem. But because I know someone who is able to work with difficult situations, I'm not going to be overcome with the problem. I'm going to recognize the problem, acknowledge the problem, and then I'm going to enter into the place of where I praise and acknowledge and celebrate the one who is able to give me the wisdom to address the problem, who is able to fix the problem if the problem needs to be fixed, and who is able to come and make sure that in the midst of it all, his name is glorified. We want to be a people that usher in praise. Where we go, we bring an attitude of praise. We don't want to be known as the complaining folk. Amen. Amen. That after you've acknowledged and shared your problem, you don't start to continue to complain. Can I just be, you may not know this, but people don't like being around complainers. Amen. Now, all of y'all that didn't say amen, y'all the ones that like being around complainers, right? Are you the complainer? I don't know. But as a general rule, let me say it this way. People don't like being around complainers. If you've ever read through the Proverbs, and I encourage you to read through the Proverbs, there are 31 Proverbs. That means you can read one proverb every day. And by the end of the month, you've read through the entire book of Proverbs. You can start it back over and you can read through the book of Proverbs 12 times in the year. And through the book of Proverbs, you'll get wisdom that comes from the Lord through these writers of the Proverbs. But if you ever read the book of Proverbs, it talks to wives. It tells wives, don't be complainers. Don't be naggers. Don't be like a dripping faucet. He cautions wives. Why? He says, because, here's why. People don't like being around complainers, and complaining doesn't fix the problem. If all you're doing is being like a drippy faucet, what you do is you run the man away that you're wanting to either fix the problem, you run him away, and he said he'd rather sit on top of the roof than to be in the house with a nagging, complaining, dripping faucet of a woman. All the brothers sit still. They like angle. They like, I ain't messing with that. You own your own, pastor. No, that's what the Proverbs say. Are we? Hey, hallelujah. Proverb. I'm just saying what Proverb. I'm just repeating what Proverbs said. Amen. Proverbs. And so the wisdom book is telling you, stay away from that complaining spirit and attitude and move to praise. I'm going to give you one more thing about complaining that it's important for you to know, that to encourage you to stay away from it, because we really want to move to this place of praise. When you complain habitually, remember we talked about praise identifies the problem. It doesn't become fixated on the problem itself. It begins going to the one who is able to give wisdom to solve the problem. But when you become at that place where all you do is complain, you make yourself available to be used by the devil. And so a person who is constantly complaining becomes an easy target for the devil to use. Because the devil, if you remember, the devil, he is more interested in what? Stirring up strife. He's not about unity. The devil is not about peace. The Bible says, blessed are the peace, what? Makers, right? It doesn't say blessed are the complainers, right? What? Because complaining, what does it do? It tears down. It tears down. After you've identified the situation and you keep going on and on and on and on and on and on, you start to tear down instead of just dealing with the issue. And so that sets you up then to be one who is not about unity. You're not about peace. You're more about tearing down. Whereas a praiser is a person who then turns around and looks for that place of encouragement. This may be broken. This situation may be a problem. But even in it, there is yet hope. And so you're, as a praiser, you just start looking at things from a different perspective. Not from a negative perspective of where you enter into a woe is me, but you start looking at it from the perspective of whatever God allows to come my way, He'll also make provision for me to be an overcomer. As a praiser, you kind of start looking at things in this way. The devil meant it for evil, but God will use it for good. And out of the midst of that, you can then begin to talk about that wrong, that injustice, that problem that came your way, and how God used it to propel, move, or grow you and put you in the place where He wants you to be. Why? Because your perspective is changing. And so as you and I enter into the month of November and start talking about Thanksgiving and leading our way up to Thanksgiving, we're going to focus on the praise component of Thanksgiving. Because when you go and back to that psalm, it says what? Enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with what? Praise. So it's a combination. They come together. It's a package deal. You got thanksgiving in your heart, thanksgiving on your lips, praise in your heart, praise on your lips, and you're celebrating the goodness and the greatness of God. You're making it a habit. In order to make something a habit, it means that you've got to practice it. Amen. Not one time a week. Practice is not reserved for Sunday morning. Amen? So that means you've got to practice. Practice is not reserved for the building that we call the church. So it means you got to practice more than one day a week. You got to practice at more than one location. Amen? So in order to make it a habit, you are going to have to practice. And everybody knows that practice gets better when you have somebody practicing with you. Amen. Can I tell you, I don't like running. You said, Pastor, we can tell and we need to talk about that. I do not like running. But I've learned that I do better running when I have someone who is running with me. Amen. I know that weight training is good for me. Resistance training is good for me. And I also know, even though I know it's good for me, I come up with 101 excuses why I don't need to go today. And when tomorrow comes, I can come up with a new slate of 101 excuses of why I can't make it. But what I've discovered is that when I have a workout partner that's waiting to meet me at the gym, my 101 excuses don't measure up. And I'm less apt to begin looking for excuses because I know that I've got to go meet with the person that I've made the commitment with to work out so that I can get this thing that's going to be good for me done. Amen. All I'm saying is that there are some things that work better when you have someone that joins you in the activity. Amen? So praise, in order for it to become a habit, must be practiced. Practice must occur on more than one day of the week and in more than one location. And I want to say that, you know what? You need to find you a praise buddy. Amen. Amen. So I'm fortunate enough that I have a praise buddy that lives with me. Amen. I have a praise buddy that lives with me. We wake up in the morning and we greet one another and we start entering into praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. How did you sleep last night? Oh, I slept well. Oh, praise God that he watched over us and gave us peace while we slept. Wait, wait, you see what we're doing, right? We just practicing praising on one another. Amen. So I have a built-in, I have a live-in praise partner, someone who encourages me to praise. Now, some of you also have live-in partners. I don't know if y'all praise partners yet. But over the course of this next month, I want them to become your praise partner. Amen? Amen. I want you to get to the place of where you guys are encouraging one another to praise. That when you are hearing about either a good thing or a bad thing, the response is praise. Amen. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I've told you this before, but I want to remind you that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? It all belongs to him. Wherever you find yourself going, you're actually walking through his gates. Wherever you find yourself there, the courts of God is already there. So don't limit yourself to just, oh, when I come to church, I'm going to enter with thanksgiving and with praise. No, no, no. When you wake up and you have a state of consciousness and you've come into an awareness that this is the day that God has allowed me to see, enter it with praise. Amen. Enter it with thanksgiving and encourage those in your household to do the same. And if they don't know how, will you be the one to teach them? Amen. Are you willing that if you recognize, don't talk about them, don't complain. I just spent all that time talking about complaining. Don't complain. Don't complain. Just teach them how to praise. Teach them how to acknowledge the goodness of God, even in bad situations. It's not just when things are going good that we're talking about praising. Even in bad, what we perceive as bad situations, and teach them to acknowledge the goodness of God. Because what? God is good. And this is what church folks say. God is good when and all the time, even in bad situations, right? And so you teach them how to acknowledge the goodness of God, even in bad situations. I'm not ignoring that it's a bad situation. I'm not ignoring that the diagnosis is bad. I'm not ignoring any of that stuff. But the diagnosis itself does not disqualify who God is. God is still going to be God, regardless of the diagnosis. God is still good, regardless of what the outcome may be. God is the one. He's the grave robber. Don't you remember? God robs graves. They thought they had Jesus defeated. It was a bad situation. They had falsely accused him. Terrible situation. Arrested him. Shown up wrong in justice. They thought they had him. But if you recall, after they finished all that they were going to do, falsely accused, arrested, hung on a cross. He was nailed to the cross. He stayed there for 3 days until he released his life and he died on the cross. And then they put him in the tomb. And the reason that you can praise and acknowledge God, even in the bad situations, is because the story ain't over until God stops talking. Oh! Come on, y'all better get excited with me. The story is never over until God stops talking. And while Jesus is there in that tomb 3 days, God wasn't done talking. He had something else to say. Because Jesus had finished paying for your sins and my sins, but he wasn't just content with paying for your sins and my sins. God needed to raise him from the dead to say to death, you no longer have dominion. You no longer have authority, and to put Jesus back in his rightful place because he is at the right hand of God the Father, because the Trinity can't be separated too long. Amen. And so he goes back to his place in heaven where he is acknowledged as the reigning king. And when he's on your side, every situation has to bow to him. Amen. And so in the process of praise, what you learn to do is to keep your eyes fixed on the one to whom every situation must bow. In the process of praise, you keep your eyes fixed on him who is actually able to open blinded eyes. In bad situations, you keep your eyes on him, the one who is able to deliver in any circumstance, because in the bad situation, you're going to focus on the praise, celebrating his goodness. And so if you have those in your household that don't yet know how to celebrate his goodness, you start to teach them how to celebrate his goodness. But now, in order for you to be a good teacher, you can't teach what you don't know, right? Amen. And you need to practice what you preach. To preach something and to not practice it, you are what? A hypocrite. Yeah. You don't want to be a hypocrite. So in order for you to be a good teacher, you've got to be practicing what it is that you're preaching. So you can't tell somebody to do something that you're not doing. You know, Jesus said about the Pharisees, he said, you know what? What they're telling you is the truth, but listen to what they say. Don't do what they do, because they ain't even living out what they're telling you. And you and I both know that folk these days look at you to look at the authenticity of your life to see whether or not you are willing and able to do the very thing that you're trying to get somebody else to do. If you're not willing to do it, why am I going to do it? So then you teach them to praise as you do it. You give them the foundation of the praise. And I got to tell you, it's found right here in the Word of God. It describes him so profoundly, and it gives insights to who he is, that in every situation you may encounter, there is room to praise. Amen. Even when you haven't gotten the answer that you're waiting on, can I tell you that there's still room to praise? Paul said it this way. There was a thorn that had kind of pierced me. It had gotten into my side, and I had prayed unto the Lord, remove, please remove this thorn from me. And God said, no. Paul said, I know the power of prayer, and I know that if I'm persistent in prayer, that if I can ask for whatever it is that I want, and God will give it to me. He said, so I prayed again. And God said, no. He said, I'm not wanting to give up. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to ask him one more time, please remove this thorn from me. Instead of just saying no, God said to him, even with that thorn in your side, my grace is sufficient to keep you. Amen. So even if the thing that you've been praying for, you haven't received it, even if the thorn that you're having to live with, you haven't been delivered from it, what you need to know is God's grace is keeping you, and God's grace is sufficient. And therefore, in the midst of it, you can still praise him because of his grace given to you. Amen. Amen. And so I want us to move into the habit of praise. And I want you to be bold enough to challenge those who are in your circle. When they're moving and leaning too much toward complaining, that you just gently nudge them back toward praise. That you don't beat them up, you just acknowledge, yeah, I hear you, but let's just praise the Lord. Yeah, you're right, but can I tell you about the goodness of God? I hear what you're saying, but have you thought about this particular aspect in what God will do? You see, you just gently nudging them back from a place of complaining, a place of being despondent, a place of being hopeless, and you're moving them into a place of praise where they take their eyes off of the problem and put their eyes on the problem solver, where they move from the valley to a place of hope. And in the midst of it, they are going to gain strength, because the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And so when you start praising, God starts breathing and listening and receiving, and he responds. So if God is inhabiting the praises of his people, that as you begin to praise him, what happens when God breathes out? Oh, y'all didn't get excited about that. Because what happens is, if he's inhabiting your praise, and then when he breathes out, you remember God breathed, he breathed, he breathed, he spoke out when there was darkness upon the earth. And when God said, let there be light, he took a dark and chaotic situation and he illuminated that situation, and there was light. And so if God is inhabiting your praise over your situation, and he's just, when he gets ready to breathe out, whatever is going on with your situation is going to receive the breath of God. And all of a sudden, that thing which was holding you back, that thing which was holding you down, is going to become a blessing to you. All because you've developed the habit of praise. Amen. Ooh, I'm going to close this way. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. I almost want to stop right there, just at the fact that I belong to him. Amen. I want to stop right there, just at the fact that knowing that I belong to him and that he's a good, good father, that, you know what, that should take care of all of my concerns, because I belong to him. The Lord is my shepherd. And what does it say? I shall not want. I belong to him. But I'm going to keep going. It says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. You praise him because you know that God can do it again. Right? If he did it before, he can do it again. Praise him because God doesn't use up his resources. That if he had an ample supply before, he has an ample supply now, and he can do it again. You praise him because when you discover that, oh, he did it for that woman with the issue of blood, and she had been suffering for 12 long years. Oh, he can do it again. Time means nothing in terms of sickness to God, because he can do it again. Amen. You praise him because you recognize that as you fix your eyes upon him, that he is the God who can do it over and over and over again. And so you praise him, and you just start saying, do it again, Lord. In my situation, do it again. Do it again, God. Heal again, Lord. Do it again, God. Restore again, Lord. Do it again, God. Make provision again, Lord. Do it again, God. Give me strength again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Protect me, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Build a hedge around me. Do it again. Why? Because you did it before, you can do it again. Come on, give God a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Habit of praise. Let it come out of your mouth. Don't be quiet. Transform your house. Make it a place where you guys praise regularly. Lift up the wonderful name of Jesus and all of his qualities. Amen.